Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
Here we go, G-Bag Nation. In 48 hours, you are going to be in college football paradise. And as we open up hour number three of the G-Bag Nation, we have some college football to discuss. The Eric Kendricks Show is coming up at 4:40, though. Looking forward to our weekly chat with him. Wolchuk's top 10 right around the corner. Here's the chief with that college football, Darty.
All right, who's the underdogs that you're on? Who is going to be a bracket buster of sorts, round one college football playoff? Who you feeling right now? I mean, I don't know if I have the cojones to go full on Clemson's beating Texas, but I do have them covering a 12-point spread. I think is pretty ridiculous here in a game where I believe Clemson has the quarterback advantage and certainly just the general big game experience advantage. Now you're on the road, and Texas's defense I think is still just too good for me to pick them to lose the game. But in terms of Clemson covering, I feel great about it. I feel great about SMU covering. I know that, I mean, it's an 8.5-point spread there. Playing at Penn State's tough. The weather's going to be a factor. But I don't feel like, I mean, how many times has James Franklin spit the bit versus top 10 opponents?
A lot.
The pressure is like, the pressure is huge,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that he's actually ever beaten one.
No, I don't think. I think he's 0 for in his life.
I don't think Ohio State's good in big pressure situations anymore. Their defense isn't great, and you know, the Tennessee quarterback wide receiver combinations are very explosive.
Yeah, so I'm liking Tennessee as well. I just don't
Tennessee know to just outright win.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just don't know what version of Ohio State to expect here after what happened against Michigan, having that type of defeat. You know, you had a senior group that had never beaten the Wolverines. The only reason why they really came back was they wanted to go ahead and finally put that a feather in their cap. They beat Michigan, and then you lose at home in the way that it happened. And now you've just had to let that linger, and you don't know what's going on with your head coach. I know the AD came out and supported him. I think you have to. The AD did what the AD has to do when your team's getting ready for a playoff. But even at home, Tennessee's pretty battle-tested. I think I'd lean with the Vols. And I don't know. There's something about Indiana. I think Indiana's going to be ready to play tomorrow night. I wouldn't be stunned if the Hoosiers were to upset the Fighting Irish.
And I don't feel great about UT in this matchup because I think Clemson has some pretty good defensive linemen. And if one of those gets hot, has a matchup he can exploit, you know, we saw against Georgia what that can mean for the Longhorns.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And Will Chambers just texted me and said that James Franklin is 0-for versus top 4 opponents.
Yeah.
But I think even versus the top 10 opponents, it's not very good. I mean, he's got plenty of pressure on him for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Ryan Day. I mean, if you're power ranking the pressures,
absolutely.
Yes. Like, there's some people that feel like Ryan Day is going to be gone if he doesn't win the whole thing.
Yes.
Like, that's the standard. Certainly getting booted in the first round at home would be a surefire firing.
Okay, here we go.
Let me ask you this, though, real quick.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that if Ohio State won, if they beat Tennessee, that the matchup that they had against Oregon, the fact that they went to Eugene and it came down to really a final play.
It was a great loss.
Does that help Ohio State maybe the next time that they play Oregon?
Yeah, I think that the rematch, you usually kind of think that it helps the loser.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that maybe Ohio State might. I'll tell you, it's the team that I'm kind of looking at, and I know it's not talking about this week's stuff. I don't think I want to play Arizona State.
No, the way that they executed in that Big 12 title game, I was like, holy moly. Like, Sam Levin's good.
They've been on a run.
And that runner's a tough one to bring down, Cam Scatabo.
They play well on defense. They run the football. They're kind of built to just beat you up and wear you down. And I wonder if, you know, I mean, that matchup, I know I'm talking about Texas and all that coming up. But
yeah, because that would be Texas's matchup. You would think the Texas run defense would be able to withstand.
Man, I'd like to believe that. But, I mean, watching Arizona State play, I think they're on like a 7-game heater right now.
Yeah, they've been playing some really good football.
Yeah.
Early in the year, it was turnovers and big plays that were going against them. They don't have much of a pass rush.
No.
Their secondary is not great. You know, it is Arizona State after all, so you can imagine they have holes around their program. But you know, if they can control the game and stay ahead and not turn the ball over, I can see it.
I tell you, if you're looking for a dark horse team,
yeah, Arizona State's gonna be
Arizona
tough
State.
Out.
I just think the way that their style and their coach is crazy enough to win something.
Oh,
like
he is,
this.
And yeah, he'll gamble. I mean, he'll go for some weird fourth downs that you won't expect. 3-17 is James Franklin's all time record against top 10 teams as the head coach of Penn State. Most recent win was in the Rose Bowl, 35-21, when they beat Utah.
Okay, yeah,
I'm not good.
No. I do think that SMU covers that 8.5-point spread. By the way, it sounds like you guys would take Tennessee to cover the 7.5 because that's what the Buckeyes are favored.
I love it. Yeah, yeah. I like the Vols.
And I like this little nugget here. If this is a tight,
I think the Vols might win straight up there. You know,
I'm picking the Vols to win.
It sounds like that's our G-Bag Nation underdog moneyline pick of the week.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
It looks like we're going with
at least the
Volunteers. The
most likely underdog to win.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I still think Clemson
might be. Yeah.
I like this note though from Bill Connolly. Like, if this ends up being Ohio State Tennessee type ball game, he just notes that like Ohio State tends to get conservative, and since the malfunctioning on the final play against that Oregon Duck team that you were mentioning earlier brought us, their quarterback Will Howard, he's 17-31 for 174 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 picks when a game is within 1 score in the second half. So, I mean, and again, as we talked about, the general pressure that Ryan Day
and you're at home,
is feeling.
And that crowd could turn on
all those players are going to be feeling that. So, yeah, that's going to be
hugely.
Yeah,
one of the best edge rushers in the country going after you, and that Pierce kid. He's a fun. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Circle that, draft fans, especially Cowboy fans. That could be a first round option for you.
Well, since we're showing love to Tennessee, let's tee up our Throwback Thursday college football clip of the day. This is Jamal Lewis, former Volunteer running back. His quarterback, of course, was Peyton Manning, and this is his Peyton Manning story.
You know, when I first got there, he came to my room, and he was just like, you know, he had like 4 or 5 sheets of paper. And he said, look, you know, you want to play this year? And I said, yeah, I want to play. And he was like, well, here go all the protections that you, he said, because if you're going to play, you got to be able to protect me.
Yeah.
And he wrote down the protections, gave them to me. He had them all written down. I wish I still had it. He had them all written down in pencil. And he said, learn these.
Yeah.
And he said, I promise you by the fourth game of the season, you'll be starting.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, fourth game of the season, I was starting. And but he was one of those guys that, man, like in practice, you know, I remember Coach Cutcliffe, who was the offensive coordinator at the time, you know, he came to me and he told me, he was like, you know, you can't play for me.
Mm.
And I'm like, why? And he's like, because you're not a practice player, you know, and he's like, you're a gamer. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a gamer. You know, right. But at the same time, he was like, tomorrow, come out here and watch number 16. He said, watch number 16 practice. And I watched him, and he was just like, every single play was full speed on 100 and like to perfection.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, I just kind of modeled my practice and my game after that, where it was like, no matter what, you know, like in practice, I was going to be 100%, you know, full throttle.
So, great story. Awesome story. Love Cutcliffe coming over there.
Awesome,
like, dude, you
can't play together.
You can't play for. Oh, yeah. That, I mean, what a duo right there.
That's awesome.
It's like, pick your poison defensively. Is Peyton going to dice you up, or is Jamal Lewis just going to go bowling ball style and run through all 11 defenders? And Jamal Lewis is one of my favorite, just underrated running backs that kind of gets lost in the mix. But man, for a few years in
intimidating
Baltimore,
players.
He was a monster.
He was so good.
But the Peyton stuff, like, it's just, it's not by accident. These are different breeds. Like, when you're talking about the 0.001% of greatness. Like, and I just watched the first episode of the Aaron Rodgers documentary, and it goes back to him as like a high school player and college, and you know, he's got a great story. When I mean, just objectively looking at it, like Aaron Rodgers' story from where he started to where he is pretty amazing. But his high school teammates, the quarterback that was older than him, and he's like, yeah, Aaron was just a different breed in terms of just the work ethic and just immersing himself and being the best at every possible way at the position. That's from a young age. And then you see Peyton Manning there in college, despite his, you know, his off-color stuff that he did in college. He was big-time football committed.
Yeah, and that was very regrettable.
Almost tainted everything for him.
Yeah, he really almost did.
But man, there's no great players that aren't obsessed with the game. You know, you're not going to make it. I think there are some terrific athletes, and maybe they look nonchalant, or you think they don't care, and they're doing it all on athleticism. But I just don't think that's possible to get to this level.
I mean, you add pressure to the conversation, and we keep talking about the short leash stuff with Quinn Ewers. Outside of Ryan Day, Quinn Ewers might have the most pressure on him when it comes to these, you know, just individuals in this college football playoff. He knows, we've already seen it in the Georgia game, it's not going to be long if things go weird on you. It could be still the first quarter of the game and you're getting yanked. But the storylines for him, where it's him versus Klubnik returning to Austin, of course, and you know, several of his Westlake teammates play for Texas.
Michael Taft had one of the best state championship interceptions I've ever seen on Quinn, and Michael Taft has been grading out every week as one of the best safeties in the country. Walk on, it's amazing what he's done. And then they got a defensive end at Texas, also as part of that Westlake national championship or state championship team.
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming full circle in that particular game. And I have in front of me the odds on favorites to be next year's Heisman Trophy winner.
Kevin Jennings.
Would you like to take a guess? Kevin Jennings is on the list, you might be able to. I mean, Kevin Jennings.
Garrett Nussmeier.
Plus 1,200.
I like it. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier and Arch Manning, I bet, are both on
Garrett,
there.
Yeah, Garrett Nussmeier.
That's your 1 and 2.
They're 1-2?
Arch plus 600. He's the favorite to be the Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. And then it is your guy at LSU, Garrett Nussmeier.
Yeah.
And then after that, you get to John Mateer, who was the number one quarterback in the transfer portal, who visited OU yesterday and went ahead and signed with, committed to him.
Okay.
So now here's the interesting thing about that is his offensive coordinator, of course, Arbuckle, came from Washington State. So now you have that beautiful marriage between a quarterback who already knows the offense, right? But Washington State's coach, head coach, just also left for what? Was it the Wake Forest job?
And this is right after he was complaining about the portal and poaching players and all that legal stuff that's going on, and there's no loyalty, and he just leaves.
Now, the funny thing is now the rumors are that maybe the guy that Oklahoma just brought in to be their OC from Washington State, Arbuckle, might end up
job.
Yeah, and it's very early in the proceedings, but people are already making that connection. If he wants to be a head coach, would he now punt on the Oklahoma Sooners OC position that he just signed on for like a couple of weeks ago to go be the head man at Washington State where he just left? And then what does that do to Mateer? Would Mateer say, okay, well then I'm not committing to OU, I will go somewhere else? I don't know, but that would be a nightmare situation for Sooners fans who right now feel great about the direction of their offense, at least for next season. That should be strong.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he's third right now as the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman for next year.
Is the Tennessee quarterback in there, Nico?
Nico, let me see where he's at. If he's listed here. Yeah, he is. He's behind Kevin Jennings, though.
Okay.
So he's like 10th or whatever. Or actually, he's got the same odds as Kevin Jennings, plus 1,200. So honestly, that might not be a bad futures play there. I don't know what next season's outlook looks like for SMU, but if Kevin Jennings is there, then you're going to be in a pretty good position. Now, did you guys watch the meaningless bowl game last night?
Because I saw the fake punt.
But the fake punt, dude. UNLV versus Cal. What is this? The Art of Sport LA Bowl. Okay.
Isn't that Gronk's piece? I watched it last night.
Yes,
by the way.
It is.
The only thing going on.
Yes.
I saw the end where I'm like, is that Gronk handing over the trophy?
It was. Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. But okay, so did you see the fake punt in real time?
I did. I've seen everything.
Was that not one of the coolest ones you've ever seen?
Badass.
Quite amazing.
Steals that and uses it on Sunday.
Oh man. Yeah, they snap it to the punter. and everybody runs like it's a normal punt. Everybody's just boom, going down to cover. But the one of the gunners from the far right side, as everyone is sprinting down the field, he's just running like a slant route, basically, across the formation. The
blockers downfield.
And so he's just sort of hiding in plain sight. But yes, all the guys that are, quote-unquote, running to go cover the kick are actually just a full blocking brigade. Yeah. And the punter just takes the ball and throws it to the gunner that's cut across the field. It's so simple. I'm like, how have we never seen this before? Because it was perfectly executed, and it ends up being a huge chunk play.
Is that a two-handed shovel pass from running punt position? Just turn that baby outward and flip it. I love it. The only thing I don't like is you wasted it on a meaningless bowl game. I'm saving that thing for a conference title game or, you know, at least a win in your end situation.
You're UNLV and you're like, this is as good as it's going to get for this is their Super Bowl.
This is a big one for
them. Well, they just got the Dan Mullen.
The Art of Sport LA Bowl might as well be UNLV Super Bowl.
Well, Dan Mullen just got the UNLV job, so maybe there'll be some creativity there.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, the special teams coach is auditioning to keep his job, probably.
See, this is where if you're that creative creating one play, you've got a full bag of other ones you could throw out there for you.
What about that sack celebration? The bowl, a bowl sack is more impressive than any other sack that you could get.
Yeah.
And so the celebrations are supposed to be pretty awesome. But we had a not one, not two, but three bow and arrows coming out of the Memphis defender, number 99. He sacks the quarterback. And this is probably his first ever bowl sack. And so he took advantage of it. And he did, because we've seen the violent, like AR-15 ones. Mm-hmm. Dude went old school with it and acted like he was pulling arrows out.
We've seen this with our guy Cooks.
Yes, but not directed, not at the player that he just embarrassed.
As the guy's laying on the ground, you just bam, 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 and you walk off.
He did three of them.
It's so disrespectful. I love it.
He gets a bowl sack on the quarterback. Yeah. He gets up, and then he, while the quarterback is still laying down on the ground.
Oh, no.
The defender is mimicking if he's pulling out the arrow, boom, fire, and then he pulls another one, boom, fire, third one, boom, fire, and then the offensive line gets all in his face, but he's fired up and he doesn't care. Yeah. So, bowl season's back, boys.
Thank you, Chief. What a college football darty to wet your whistle there for the upcoming weekend. It's going to be incredible. We can't wait to chat more about with you throughout today's show and tomorrow. Eric Kendrick's show is coming up at 4:40. What are we doing next, Wolchuk?
All right, we got our top 10 of the day, and we continue our year-end list, the top 10 best teams since 2000. Who is the best sports team since that 2000 year? That's next.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for Woolchuk's Top 10 at 420. Segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. It's 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Soda. That's state of the art. Eric Hendricks Show coming up in 15 minutes. Here's Woolchuk Top 10. You're Wooly Bully.
All right. 7-0 Gunter leading Woodville, by the way, at halftime of the 3A-D2 championship, as we've got that on to entertain us. We'll get to the top 10 best sports franchises since the year 2000 in a moment. Which franchise do you think reigns supreme? Do we get some DFW franchises that might crack the list? Spoiler, Cowboys aren't it. Okay, there's no Dallas Cowboys listed when it comes to this, because this would be like success. This one is, Gavin, this is success in the sport. Wins.
Okay, thank you.
So not financial. Financial driven, they'd be number one. We know that. Forbes has that for us. This is like championships. And that so far since 2000 has been very, very elusive. In fact, can't even really make a conference championship. That's tough. And division titles just don't quite do it for this one.
Question, is this just professionals or is this also college?
Great question. Just professionals.
All right.
No colleges. This would just be pro sports. I did just see, okay, Eric, and if you want to pull up the gift that, or the gift package, really, that Mahomes gave out.
Joe Burrow's trying
this
to.
This is pretty cool. Did this outdo what Patrick Mahomes did? Joe Burrow gifted his offensive lineman an authentic Japanese katana swords. I guess swords is plural here, so we got multiple Japanese katana swords.
Yes.
They're all unique. Each sword comes with its own story from certain towns or battles. He put them all in a room, had them pick theirs out. The quote is, Joe does a great job at buying gifts that are extremely meaningful, said Orlando Brown. The fact that he bought me a sword, it's the most ancient form of respect. Would you rather get to pick your own battle katana or get whatever Patrick Mahomes gave you, which was a Rolex watch and Lucchese boots?
Yeti cooler, Rolex watch, Lucchese boots, Oakleys, and Normatex.
Is this like an ancient katana?
Yes.
Yeah, I think these are like legit.
Authentic Japanese katana swords.
Okay, because I just watched that movie Infinite with Mark Wahlberg. That's the one I was watching with the lady last weekend when she was like, oh. So I got a little bit of an education on that, right? And the ones that were made in ancient times, you know, like some of these arts and tactics for making these things aren't necessarily that prevalent today. So you're getting a piece of history and a very unique item. Or stuff I could buy myself. I'm going with the katana.
Yeah, I'm looking at this handmade. You're looking at anywhere from $12,000 to $25,000 or more, it says. Wow. So a little bit vague there, but definitely not cheap. The most expensive katana is the Sanchomo. And that's $5 million buckaronies.
Woo!
Wow. So
you might get more value depending on which
one you
katana
use on the chomos.
Sword.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the katana is, that one's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah.
Like people are really gonna want to come over and see that. And like, are you displaying, where is that being displayed? That's not like hiding in the closet somewhere. That's up on a wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe right by the nightstand or something.
Could be.
Individual story that comes with said katana as well. So now I've got like a party story. Like, look at my katana. This is the battle it was fought in. This is the town it came from.
Like what's the body count on each katana as well?
Like, you know, Tom Cruise used this in The Last Samurai.
How many people
would you like, okay, if you were one of the five Burrow offensive linemen, would you like him to give you the history of all the swords before you go in there?
Absolutely.
So you can research.
It sounds like that's what he did. It was like, it laid it out.
He gave him a booklet and said, okay, here are the five swords.
Yeah, we got to go way back too.
Okay.
I don't want like a World War II like spare officer katana, you know, that they wore in a battlefield. Okay. I want to go back at least probably 1600s.
Okay, so you don't want to go in there cold.
No.
You want to know the history of the five swords.
No, let's preheat this thing.
Okay, how do you determine who gets first pick?
best player.
Ooh,
now,
yeah.
I don't know how they
did the veteran. Does the veteran dude get first pick?
Now that I think about it, we're probably we're drawing
Ted
numbers.
Karras.
We're drawing numbers. I don't want to show favoritism.
Pick? He's the center. Does he get first pick?
Is he
pick?
The oldest?
I was about to say, I think he probably is.
I think he'd probably go on seniority, don't you?
I think he'd go on seniority, too.
Well, if that's the protocol, then we're doing that. But I want something to take any potential bias out of the equation.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want guys resenting me because I picked the right guard.
Like, I'm sorry that you got to pick first and somebody took the katana you really wanted. Mm-hmm. Now we've got infighting with the katanas. Somebody's going to die.
Is there a chance that the swords are not all of equal value?
Yes, there is a chance.
Yeah,
he put them all in a room and had them pick theirs. So there could
be. So you might be picking a bum sword.
I think they're all above bum.
Yeah, I don't think any of them is going to be a bum sword. Well, but there could be one that is better than the other.
One of them could be your $5 million sword maybe one time, right?
In theory, you're right.
In theory.
It could be.
But then we could have like Dawson's talking about like maybe this guy wasn't as famous for using the sword. So you pick that one. And that's a bum sword.
I think you would definitely want one that has some numbers to it. You know, a champion fighter whose names have been etched in the halls of dojos for years. As far as your model combatant,
okay. Where would you start? I'm asking you, where would you start in your educational process of what sword to pick? Do you go to an expert? Do you go to a sword expert?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think this is all happening in real time. I don't think he's like saying, hey, guys, tomorrow, just so you know,
that's what I'm
this
asking.
Is happening. No, that's- I think this is like, hey, guys, surprise, surprise. I got a bunch of swords in here, and you get to pick one. And here's like a
pick.
Here's like all a right. 20-second right. synopsis about yeah. each one. Go right. have at it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, or you're right. Because of this, maybe you just wait till afterward to tell them the story.
I mean, at this point in the game, they probably are all going ChatGPT for answers, right? What can I get figured out?
If I was Joe, I would probably say, okay, there are the swords, pick one. And then when you pick it, then you get the story.
Yeah.
That's
then you're
what
just,
I would.
Then you're just going off the
all
eye
of a sudden, there's, the story there's like, comes a little, your, like a little yeah. video. There's yeah. like a little, like a sword expert comes up and says, you selected, and it gives you the history of the sword. And everybody's like, oh.
It's a pretty sweet deal there.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Chris Strong just sent me something about the bang guy at the Stars games. We'll get to that a little bit later on the show. This guy's gotten arrested, apparently. So if you get annoyed by the dude who puts up the bang sign at the Stars games, we'll get to that later. All right, top 10 best franchises since 2000. Honorable mention, you do have your Dallas Mavericks. Of course, the Mavericks have 3 NBA Finals appearances, 1 title since 2000, 19 postseason appearances. And they do have a regular season record just under 600 right here. Astros were an honorable mention. They can go bleep themselves, as were the Indianapolis Colts because of the run, of course, they had with Manning. Packers are on here. Bruins of Boston. The LA Dodgers. And you've got the two teams just on the outside looking into the top 10, the Baltimore Ravens. 2 appearances, 2 titles in Super Bowls, 15 postseason appearances. And then the New York Yankees. 5 appearances in the World Series, 2 titles, 20 postseason appearances.
Wow.
Pretty impressive.
How could you not pick that? That's not a top 10er?
Not a top 11, just on the outside.
Okay.
Number 10 is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Since 2000, have 3 appearances in the Super Bowl, 1-2, and 15 postseason appearances. Number 9 is the Tampa Bay Lightning, who went on a hell of a run.
They went on a good run.
5 cup appearances, 3 titles. Man, it would be fun to have been a Tampa Bay Lightning fan since 2000. Really, Tampa Bay was like title town there for a little bit with the Bucs Super Bowl run, the Lightning Stanley Cup. Number 8, you got the Penguins of Pittsburgh. 4 cup appearances, 3 titles with Sid the Kid. You've had Crosby, Malkin, Letang. They all played their first game together in 2006, and since then, they've been one of the most winning franchises in all sports.
Make me a milkshake, Malkin. That was classic calls, the Penguins play-by-play guy.
7 is the Chiefs of Kansas City. 13 postseason appearances, 4 Super Bowl appearances, 3 titles with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Mm. 6 is Golden State. 6 appearances in the finals, 4 titles, 10 postseason appearances. 5 is the Red Sox. 4 appearances in the World Series, 4 titles. So the titles trumping what they've got with the Yankees. Number 4, the Miami Heat. 7 appearances in the finals, 3 titles. I get it.
Screw Pat Riley, the GOAT.
You had LeBron, Wade, Bosch, and then Wade and Shaq. Yeah, I mean, Pat Riley knows how to build a champion.
It's 3 titles, but why isn't it 4?
For what?
It's because because Dirk swooped in and said, go bleep yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Greatest title run in NBA history, if you ask me.
Jet was huge in that series, too. A lot of guys were.
Well, and J.J. Barea.
J.J. Barea.
LeBron Stopper.
Hey, Deshaun Stevenson.
Deshaun Stevenson with the three ball. And we can't forget Brian Cardinal. The glue guys deserve the love. Yeah. And what he did was unbelievable.
Culture guy.
We're going to skip over three. That team where Charles Barkley hates the city and there's like fat women or something, so he says.
Oh, I think they cheat for their championships.
There's weird stuff going on there.
Yeah, that's San Antonio for sure.
But great food, great Mexican food.
Oh.
Number two is the Lakers. 8 appearances in the final, 6 titles since 2000.
Ouch.
Unreal. But number one, the greatest sports franchise over the last 24 years, and this is probably their last time to do it.
Ever.
The New England Patriots.
The New England Patriots.
9 appearances in the Super Bowl, 6 titles, Belichick, Brady. Enjoy it, Boston, because you're not getting it back.
Mm. Thank you, Woolchuck. There it is, another top 10 in the books. We have the Eric Kendrick Show coming up next right here, G-Bag Nation, The Fan. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and every Thursday we chat with Cowboys linebacker Eric Kendricks. It's brought to you by Keurig and by Dr. Pepper, and a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, man. Another takeaway. A couple big plays in the previous game. Is that just good fortune happening, or are you making a read based on how the play's flowing of where the ball could pop loose?
Well, I mean, I covered my guy on the play. You know, you just kind of do your job, run to the, and you kind of react and run to the ball, and good things happen when that, you know, when you do so. It's crazy because I've always complained how I've never got any tipped interceptions until. Until this year, I got 2 this year, so I'm not complaining at all. I'm gonna take them as they come. So it was cool to be a part of.
And hopefully that continues here this week against Tampa. Do you guys feel good about, you know, this thing going in? What do you think about Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, you know, I feel like you know, especially in Tampa, he's coming to his own. You know, I feel like obviously he's been a player in this league for a while, but you know. He's in a spot where he's, you know, making completions, you know, doing the thing, running the offense, playing with a lot of confidence. So, yeah, you know, I feel confident in our group. You know, we're going to go in there and hopefully give him some trouble.
You know, they've been saying, at least the critics are, oh, well, you haven't beat anybody. But Cincinnati's defense or Cincinnati and Washington's offense, I think, are ranked like both top 10, I think 3 and 6. So do you feel like you deserve more credit than what some people have been giving you?
I mean, I don't think that we should be looking for credit right now. I think we should just be, you know, getting to work. You know, I feel like obviously we know what we're capable of. We have a little bit of confidence on our side. We've played some great teams throughout this whole year. One of the hardest schedules I've ever played in my career. But that being said, you know, we gotta. It's that time of year where you gotta win.
Eric, how's that linebacker room right now? I mean, losing Overshown was a huge bummer, but Maris Leafau, I mean, he was jumping off the screen watching him against Carolina.
Yeah, you know, I've been like I said earlier. I mean, I'm just blessed to be a part of this group. You know, I feel like it's a bunch of young, hungry guys that do things the right way. You know, treat each other with respect. You know, come to work ready to learn, and sky's the limit. You know, it doesn't surprise me what Maris did stepping up. You know, he's been preparing and learning throughout the season, and he's a great player.
Hey, Eric, what makes a good blitzing linebacker? What traits do you have to have? Because you've got a great feel for how to kind of navigate those situations that Mike puts you in.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, the situations that Mike puts us in, you know, it's knowing a little bit what the offense is doing, how they're trying to strategize against you. But when you're rushing the quarterback, you know, I feel like the less thinking you can do, the better in my situation, you know. You know, it's hand placement, it's leverage, it's just your tenacity to get to the ball. It's a little bit of a feel type thing. There's all different characteristics that make, you know, good pass rushing linebackers.
Where would you rank Micah in terms of best players you've ever played with?
Man, he Micah has so many special attributes. His motor is crazy. I think that his closing ability to get to the quarterback, like when he does turn an edge or when he does, you know, beat somebody, like the closing, how fast it happens, mm-hmm. I would say is probably compared to anyone I played with is the best. You know, I've been around some greats. You know, I've been around Danielle Hunter, Khalil Mack, Michael Parsons. You know, so I feel like I have a good say in this. You know, everyone brings something different to the table, mm-hmm. but I think his close is special.
It really is. We were actually just discussing when it came to holiday gifts amongst your Joe Burrow just gave the linemen katanas for Christmas. I don't know if you've ever been a part of like a linebacker gift exchange. Yeah. And what do you think of the katana as a gift? I mean, it sounded pretty badass.
I mean, that sounds cool. You know, you hang it up on your wall and you could take it down and just slice somebody in half at a moment's notice. I think that is pretty cool. However, I've been a part of some really good linebacker gift exchanges, whether it's like a little Secret Santa type situation or, you know, a white elephant. I've been a part of some cool ones.
What's the best you've ever gotten, and what's the best you gave?
The best I've ever gotten, I like the weird stuff. I have these, I got this little sculpture. Sounds crazy. It's like these two figurines that I just, that I love. I mean, I've gotten a lot of stuff, shoes. I've gotten some glasses. I think the best gift you can get to somebody who has everything is you kind of just get something that they would never buy themselves or something that's totally off the wall. So, I've seen a lot of crazy stuff being passed around, but, you know, the typical, like, you know, backpack or, you know, duffel bag or something like that.
Hey, Eric, if it was up to me, I'd get you a 427 Shelby Cobra myself.
That's what so I make.
I would, that's what, if I had
one,
the money, you know, I'd get you one of those because I know how much you love cars.
You know what? I would take it happily. You know, if anyone would gift me any car, yeah, I would have fun with it somehow.
I missed you last week. I just had the transmission crap out on my vehicle, so I wanted to get some advice.
Ooh.
From you.
I'm not doing anything with that, so I don't know. You didn't miss me at all.
The Eric Kendrick Show here on The Fan. Do you give any advice to guys that are like getting ready to go through their first big contract negotiation?
Yes and no. I just feel like if anyone wants to ask me for advice, or if anyone, you know, if we're on the conversation topic, I would definitely give, you know, my advice or my experience on things. But, yeah, you know, I feel like if someone comes to me, I would give advice for sure.
What if they asked, should I take less to help the team sign more players?
I don't know who we're talking about, but if that's what they're saying, you know, I've been a part of that. I've been a part of people who've done that. So, you know, money in all respects isn't everything. It's important to get what your value is worth. It's important to, you know, to get compensated for your, you know, your share essentially. But at the same time, if somebody was coming to me saying that, I would be like, you know, depends on the situation, money, you know, your happiness in one place versus, you know, the money you may receive in another place. You know, I played with Anthony Barr for a number of years, and I remember he was in free agency and he was going to take a contract with the Jets or the Vikings, you know what I mean? And it was kind of a money type of thing, and he chose the happiness aspect of it. And it worked for him, you know what I mean? So not to speak on it, but yeah, and money isn't everything.
Yeah, it was Mike. You know, he's coming up. I guess he's eligible at the end of this year. And last week he said there's not much of a difference between 40 and 30 million. And I thought, man, that's got to be awesome to be able to even conceptualize that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But that's a lot of money. But at the same time, you know, I don't know the details of it, but yeah. I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. Smart guy.
How important are OTAs as a team leader? Is that something you got to be there for, chemistry and all the chatter and being on the same page, or is that just kind of like a learning opportunity for younger players?
I think that it's, you know, there's some positive aspects to it. You know, I think that it's a double-edged sword. No, I feel like in my experience, in my thought process, you know, I'm 10 years in. I've seen a ton of players, you know, get injured during OTAs or, you know, that period of time where it's like it sets them back. So obviously there's certain camaraderie, there's communication skills. If you're learning a new defense, you know, there's so many positive things. There's, you know, there's a team camaraderie and just hanging out with the guys every day in the weight room. Like, that's all great. You know what I mean? There's so many great things about OTAs. But, you know, for the distance and the amount of time that you share there, a lot of people have their own people they work out with, and they get in shape their own way. And not saying that you can't do that at the facility. However, you know, everyone's got to be professional when it comes time. So when it comes time for season, you better know where you're supposed to be. You better know your assignment, your alignment. You know what I mean? They're not going to wait for you. So your performance in the field is dictated upon you individually, and less about, you know, OTAs, mini camp, I feel like.
So sorry about yet another Micah question, but he talks a lot, and it's usually fire. And today he said bleep Philly. It was classic. Is there a team out there that you've played a number of times that you just can't stand for whatever reason?
I mean, honestly, like, that I can't stand? I mean, nah. It's everyone. It's like, I just build that in my mind when I'm about to play somebody. So it doesn't matter, like, you know, when they're running out of the huddle. If I'm at an away game and they're running out of the tunnel, I'm saying, you know, F you under my breath. Right. You know what I mean, yeah. It's just like, yeah, it's really just everybody else who I'm playing against at the time.
Eric, when's the last time you?
I hate USC though. I mean, if that counts.
Okay, that's fair.
There you go.
Are you plugged into the playoff that's about to happen?
No, not at all. Unplugged.
Well, USC's not in it, so that's
don't worry.
They've been embarrassing. Honestly, this has been a good run to be able to kick on them a little bit.
Everybody's leaving there.
I did see a bunch of people like transferring and stuff like that. But
yeah, Lincoln Riley's found a way to sort of nuke two big time programs by leaving Oklahoma and then going to USC, and they've sucked. But when's the last time you sports cried?
I sports cried.
Yeah.
Man, shoot, like 2 weeks ago, probably.
Okay. Bengals game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just an overshow.
Talking about tears? Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, that was more about overshown, or was that just the combo of losing the way you lost?
It was, you know, obviously it sucks losing. You put your soul into it, but it was a little bit, you know, I shed a tear for my mans, you know. It's just a tough situation to be in, you know. I feel like working as close to him as I can, you know, and you know you want the best for him. So I feel like it got me for sure.
That game, I mean, are you guys still thinking about that? You could be 7-7 right now.
No, I mean, you got to let it go. I mean, you could say that about probably more than just that game this season, you know. So it's not. At that point, you got to just close the book and start the new chapter. You know, which this week is, you know, the Bucks. So, you know, we're moving on.
Defensively, you guys are really kind of humming along right now. Like, things are really grooving. Are you kind of envisioning maybe this is the future of something big? You'd like to run it back here with the Cowboys?
Man, you know, I would love that, but you know, time will tell. I'm just gonna, like I said, I'm just gonna keep doing what I do, put my head down, you know, do what I can to get these dubs.
Hey, Eric, when you see kids throwing around the ball like in a park or something, or maybe in front of a star, do you ever join them or maybe go make a play on the ball just for fun?
like in front of the facility?
Yeah, just kids messing around.
No. I've seen them, but if I usually see, you know, sometimes when I do see, you know, people play, I just kind of let them be. You know, I just kind of watch it for what it is, because for me, it's like that used to be me. So I kind of just like, I kind of just watch them and kind of be like, it's the simple things, you know. It's the enjoyment, it's the love for the game, what's bringing them out there, you know, whether they're playing three flags up or, you know, just playing some 3-on-3 tag or tackle football. I kind of just sit there and watch and get a little bit more fulfillment from the game in that sense.
We did a Christmas movie bracket with our midday show earlier today. Christmas Vacation did win the movie bracket, but do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
I mean, the Elf snowball fight is just, it's a classic for me. Will Ferrell. What else? I like This Christmas with Chris Brown.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. What's another good Christmas movie?
Home Alone?
I mean, shoot.
Did you get into the Grinch at all? The Grinch seemed pretty controversial.
I'm not a Grinch guy, to be honest. I'm not a Grinch guy.
You know, one movie I've seen recently that didn't get mentioned is just Claws with a K. Have you seen that?
I haven't. But isn't that what's that one action movie that's kind of considered a
Die Hard?
Die Hard.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, final question, man. You've been killing it, and if you got to go, please do, if you have something here at the top of the hour. But I guess Xavier Leggett got the conversation started, and then Jerry Jones on our morning show this week disclosed he and his family enjoyed squirrel, even eating the brains at times. What's the wildest animal you've ever eaten, Eric?
Ooh, dang. I can't say I've eaten squirrel, so
can't beat it.
Just gonna throw that out there. I think the craziest thing I've probably eaten is probably something like some raw fish or something like that. I'm really trying to think. Some type of like
you never
squid
had snake?
Or octopus.
Snake,
octopus.
I haven't had snake. I've had like the octopus, you know.
Okay,
like ceviche.
No, I've had grilled octopus, like where you could see the tentacles or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're called, but
well, right on,
yeah,
dude.
Probably that.
Thanks again, and thanks for an extended interview this time around. We're having a blast chatting with you. Give him hell this weekend. We'll be pulling for you.
I appreciate it. Take care.
There he goes. You too. Eric Kendricks here on 105.3 The Fan, brought to you by Keurig and Dr. Pepper. And from there, we go to an addition to the finest, Chief.
The secret sauce to Josh Allen's MVP caliber season and not so fast on this big-time running back injury next in the nation.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.